Anybody can say why October 31st is very significant? Yeah, it is very important because the year October 31st marks the anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And today I'm going to give a little bit, just a nutshell, on the cause for the Reformation. And you can write books and books on this one. So I'm going to give just a nutshell, just an overview, very small, the time we have, the cause for the Reformation, which began in 1517 on October 31st, where Martin Luther's famous 95 theses, it's kind of sent a whole fire across Europe, where the Roman Catholic Church, they were unable to extinguish this fire. And the most importance of the Reformation is what is called the Four Alones. And if you remember that the Reformation, it came into being by believing on sola gratia, sola Christo, sola fide, and sola scriptura. Which means sola gratia means salvation is by grace alone, in Christ alone, by faith alone. And that is what is taught in Scripture. Now, the Protestant Church was born out of a protest against the legalism of Roman Catholicism. The Reformers, they fearlessly preached the gospel, bearing the message of on the sufficiency of the work of Christ. The grace of God and the full and the final authority of Scripture. So they brought the church back again, liberated the church from the message on justification by faith alone. But today, when we see, however, we find a lot of Christian churches, they find there's nothing wrong with Roman Catholicism. And they are even embracing some of the teachings of Rome. Now, the issue is, the Bible says in Romans 1:16, very clearly, the issue has to do with salvation. This is a soteriology issue. It has to do, the focal issue is on salvation here. That's why the Reformation came, protesting against these salvational issues. It is not non-salvational things. This is something to do with the gospel, salvation. That's really important for us to understand. So Romans 1:16, Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation." So there is power in salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 2. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2 says, Paul said, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach you, which also you receive and which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. And also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. 2:13. I want to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, because beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. So here we see the most important part is the gospel. The gospel was at stake during the time of Roman Catholicism. It was because of the gospel. And we know that Christ came as the God-man, okay, the mediator between God and man, to deliver us from sin. That is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is that the gospel can deliver us from sin. And most of all, the guilt of sin. You know, as you know, you're guilty, your verdict is you're guilty of a crime. Christ can deliver us from that guilt and the power and the condemnation of sin. So he came to deliver us from the authority of Satan, from eternal death, and to bring us back to God, and that we can embrace God, and that we can be called sons of God, children of God, that we have been adopted to God, you know, as a family. So this is the power of the gospel can do. But if this gospel is being changed, if something being added to this gospel, then there's a great danger. Now if we turn with me to First Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Peter 3:18, Peter said, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." This is the power of the gospel, that Christ suffered once for sins, just once for sins. That's it. The just for the unjust. Okay? We are unworthy sinners, that we were brought back to God. And also John chapter 17 verse 3. "This is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So the only way is through eternal life can be gained is through Jesus Christ. He is the center of the gospel. Now, as we see that the focal issue has to do with salvation, but let me tell you something. Rome always taught that salvation was by grace through faith in Christ, and had always held that the Bible was the Word of God. And many Christians will clap their hands and say, "Wow, Roman Catholics and the Protestants, they believe in the most essential issues. So what's wrong with it? We are all Christians." No, they are not the same. Roman Catholicism may sound the same, but when they say Bible as the Word of God, salvation was grace through faith in Christ Jesus, we need to define their terminology. What is grace? What is faith? What is justification? And when we see their terminology just defining them, we see another gospel. That is so important. Because didn't Jesus say that wolves will come wearing sheep's clothing? The terminology is so important. Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, I believe they all fall into the same category when it comes to terminology. They wear sheep's clothing, right? They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They talk like Christians. When Rome say, you know, they always believe that salvation by grace in faith in Christ Jesus. So what's wrong with that? Right? It looks good. So this is where terminology looks good. But when we take that, when we define it, when we take a magnifying glass and try to penetrate into that, when we try to take that sheep's clothing away, we see a wolf inside, a ferocious wolf. Then we see, a different gospel. Because Satan can come like an angel of light, right? Now, remember, Martin Luther was a Roman monk. He was a Roman monk. When he was really studying this issue, he was so bothered by it. He wanted to know the truth, you know. So when he was reading Romans chapter 3, verse 28, you can turn with me to Romans 3, 28, came to this particular scripture. This is where his whole mind changed. He found the truth. Romans 3:28. He was reading a Romans 3:28 and a commentary from Augustine. So Romans 3:28 says that, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Luther tried to keep every law he wanted, right? He was very innocent. He wanted to keep every law, everything. But when he saw this, his whole understanding was, he saw the truth. So when Luther read this, his understanding of the gospel, he stated that in the context, it means, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith alone. In the context, it means is by faith alone. That's it. Nothing added. Nothing you can add apart from the deeds of the law. That's what Luther meant when he says by faith apart from the deeds of the law. It meant by faith alone. Nothing else. Now, why Luther in context? When we see by faith alone that we are being justified in Christ. Because when we see the teachings of the Roman Catholics, we see it is faith plus this, faith plus works, faith plus a lot of things. Now let me give you some things what the Roman Catholics believes in. Any individual Roman Catholic believes that the popes are infallible in their teaching. Also, one must believe that the bishops of Rome have been given authority by Christ to rule the church universal. One must be submitted to the bishop of Rome in all areas of faith, morals, discipline, and government of the church. The Roman Catholic Church alone has the right to interpret scripture, and its interpretations are infallible. When Pope says something, it is infallible. One must accept the Apocrypha as scripture and as part of the canon. As very amazingly, Rome denied the Apocrypha. Even Jerome denied the Apocrypha until the Council of Trent came. So, you know, if they denied the Apocrypha before and the Pope was infallible, now they say Apocrypha is the Word of God, which Pope is infallible. Then they say there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. They say one must believe that the Roman Catholic sacraments are necessary for salvation. An individual must repudiate the teachings that the imputed righteousness of Christ is the basis for justification. One must embrace the teachings that justification is not by faith alone, but by human works, cooperating with grace and by participation in the sacraments. What are you seeing now? A wolf. What are you seeing now? This is different than what they say. One must accept the teachings that water baptism is necessary for salvation, as it is the instrumental means of regeneration even for infants. One must believe that Mass is a propitiatory sacrifice for sin. One must believe that in the Eucharist, the bread and wine is transformed into the literal body and blood of Christ at the word of consecration. It is necessary to believe that confession of sins to a Roman Catholic priest and receiving his absolution and performing acts of penance is the only way to receive forgiveness after baptism. One must embrace the teachings of the Immaculate Conception and Assumption of Mary, meaning that Mary was born sinless, and Mary was resurrected later in heaven, her own body. One must accept the Roman Catholic teaching on purgatory. Now, when you get into Roman Catholic question and answers in their part of their catechism, this is some of the questions I'm going to answer what they say. When they ask, why did Christ establish the church? The answer, according to Roman Catholicism, Christ established the church as a universal sacrament of salvation. Salvation is basically from the church. How is the church the universal sacrament of salvation? Answer is, the church is a universal sacrament of salvation as the divinely instituted means of conferring grace on all the members of the human family. You can see what I'm trying to show is that the church is above the word of God here, according to Roman Catholicism. It is above the word of God. The word of God should be conformed to the church, not the other way around, according to Roman Catholicism. Then they ask the question, how does the church communicate divine grace to mankind? The answer is, the church communicates grace to mankind by her teachings of revealed truth. Church gets the revealed truth. Who gets it? The Pope, right? So whatever Pope says is right. Her celebration of Mass, administration of the sacraments, her prayers, and the practice of virtue by her members, and the guidance and government of the faithful according to the will of God. Is a church necessary for salvation? Of course, you should say, according to Roman Catholicism, reading all these things, it is yes. The church is necessary for salvation. Christ himself declared that no one can be saved except through faith and in baptism. The other question is, for whom there is no salvation, for whom is there no salvation outside the church? There is no salvation for those who, though incorporated into the church by baptism, fail to preserve and sanctify in grace and die in the state of mortal sin. They are also not saved who realize they are doing but refuse to be baptized and accept the church means of salvation. What do you see here? Basically, all the cults believe the same thing, isn't it? The Iglesia Ni Cristo believes that the church is a way of salvation. It is a church. You've got to become a member. Mormons believe. Jehovah's Witnesses believe. Then another question is, what does the Roman Catholic Church believe about the forgiveness of sins? She believes it is God's will that no one is forgiven except through the merits of Jesus Christ, that these merits are uniquely channeled the church he founded. Consequently, even as the church is a universal sacrament of salvation, she is also the universal sacrament of reconciliation. Wow! You can see how the church has become above the word of God. How does the church communicate the merits of Christ's mercy to sinners? The church communicates Christ's mercy to sinners through the Mass and the sacraments and all the prayers and good works of the faithful. What is the church's role in reconciliation of sinners to God? The church reconciles sinners to God mainly by her exercise of God's mercy through the sacraments which he instituted. Are the sacraments necessary for salvation? According to the way God has willed that we are saved, the sacraments are necessary for salvation. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. No, Mark 7, 6. Jesus say, Mark chapter 7. Verse 6. He answered and said to them, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" That's it. "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men." Verse 9, he said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." Rome always say tradition is important. The church is the has the authority. Pope has the authority. It is that everything should be conformed to the church. Church is the salvation for all. Now, of course, we believe that the source of salvation is Christ alone. Because Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved." It's Christ alone. Just coming to church, you cannot be saved just being a part of the church. Coming to church or becoming a member of the church or a bishop or a pastor or anybody who is involved in the church or showing your face in the church cannot save you. Or just being baptized, you say, "Oh, I got baptized. I'm a member of the church. I always come to church." Cannot save you. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the bread of the life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst." And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me." Is this the soul salvation is solely on Jesus Christ. And the church is there to proclaim the gospel, not the other way around. Church is not the way of salvation. Church is to proclaim the gospel, what Christ has already taught. Church is to minister to the people the gospel of Christ. That is the function of the church, to evangelize the gospel, to tell the truth, to show what is wrong, to show the wrong teachings, and to defend the gospel. But according to the Church of Rome, Christ did not accomplish a full, finished, completed salvation in the work of atonement. His death on the cross did not deal with the full penalty for man's sins, Rome says. It merited grace for man, which is then channeled to the individual through the Roman Church and its sacraments. So this enables the grace, this enables the works of righteousness. So the Rome says Christ's sacrifice on the cross is not complete, it's not full. You got to go through the sacraments of the church. You know, you got to go through these add-ons to the gospel. Okay? It's not the gospel, you got to go through these add-ons. Now the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Up to 14. It says here, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man," talking about Christ, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat at the right hand of God." Just one sacrifice. That is the sacrifice of Christ. Verse 13, "From this that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected whose those are being sanctified." Only one offering, not daily sacrifices are needed. Now, according to the Council of Trent, I'm going to read, this is what the Council of Trent says. "If anyone said that the sacraments of the new law are necessary unto salvation, and that without them or without the desire thereof, men obtain from God through faith alone the grace of justification, let him be an anathema. That means, if we say that the sacraments are not necessary and that salvation is obtained by grace, by faith alone, Rome says, let that person be an anathema. Now, let me tell you something. When Luther saw that, now we understand Romans 3:28, right? When Luther said the context is what? Is by faith alone. Why did Luther see that? Because Luther saw all these additions to the gospel. He saw all the additions. He saw all the polluted gospel. He saw the polluted gospel. So it is so important, because when Rome states that an individual is justified by grace, she means that grace has been infused to the soul of man. This makes him righteous before God and enables for him to act righteousness. This justification is a process. According to Rome, the word righteousness of God means it's a human righteousness, which is the source is the grace of God, but this human righteousness comes through your sacraments. What do you do? So, righteousness is a work that is cooperative. This righteousness is the source of, its source is from God, but you got to cooperate with all the church beliefs, sacraments, baptism, penance, everything else. So the Council of Trent denied that men are justified by the righteousness of Christ alone. They denied that. Now, let me tell you something. In the early church, had a real big problem in a sense, though the greatest threat for the early church were the Judaizers. They were the greatest threat to the early church. If you turn with me to Galatians chapter 1, what we read. Chapter 1. It says here, verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than we have preached you, let him be accursed. That's the word anathema. That means the word accursed there is God is going to damn that person. That is one of the very strongest words in the Bible. That God is going to damn that person. Any other gospel. And we see Paul is preaching here to the Galatian church who were Judaizers. That means Judaizers were people just like the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to show you the similarity between the Judaizers and the Roman Catholic Church. The Judaizers believed Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. So does the Rome. Judaizers believe that salvation is of circumcision. It is important. If you are not circumcised, you are not saved. The Rome believe baptism is necessary for salvation. You can see the similarity, right? Judaizers believe you got to be a Jew to be saved. Not Gentiles. Remember? Peter was suddenly left the Gentiles and went to the Jews to eat. And Paul rebuked Peter. Roman Catholics believe you've got to be a Roman Catholic. to be saved. The Judaizers believed in the sacrificial system. All the sacrifices. The Roman Catholics believe the same. Judaizers believed in the priest. Roman Catholics believe in the priest. Judaizers believe in the high priest. Judaizers. Roman Catholics believe in the high priest. They believed in the altars. Everything the same. They believed in the feast days. The level of water. Roman Catholics believe in the holy water. What about the dietary regulations where the Judaizers believe in different? Roman Catholics, we know that. On certain holy days, they will not eat meat and so forth. Roman Catholic Judaizers believed in the candles, so those are Judaizers. Roman Catholics. Judaizers believed in the incense, so does the Roman Catholics. Judaizers believes in the shewbread, and the Roman Catholics believe in the Eucharist. Believed in the tradition of the elders, so does the Roman Catholics believe in the tradition of the church. So, here again, Paul says, verse 9, Galatians 1:9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Two times. Let him be accursed. Now, what is the true faith? Faith is the substance of this, right? It is by faith we are saved in Christ Jesus. So, when it comes to salvation, what is the true faith? As I told you, there are three elements of faith. One is the knowledge. Okay? The second is our response from the heart. And the third is the commitment. Now, we need to have a basic knowledge of the gospel. What is the faith? We need to have that knowledge. And we need to respond to that gospel. And we need to commit to that gospel. Now, turn with me to James chapter 2, verse 19. James chapter 2. 19 says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So you believe that there is one God? Good. You believe that Jesus Christ is God? Good. That means you're saved. You don't need the gospel. Is it what the Bible says? No. Do you believe that you're saved by Christ, by grace, through faith in Christ? That's what the Rome believes. Good. They are saved. So they don't need the gospel. They are saved. No. James says, even demons believe that. There is one God. Demons believe there is one God. They tremble. Question, are the demons saved? Just because they believe in God? No. Why? Demons, they may have a knowledge in the gospel, but they don't respond to the gospel. They don't repent. And there's no commitment. So what saving faith is so important when we say sola fide, okay, by faith alone, is so important. That means that a true Christian believes in God, responds to the gospel, and then commit to the word of God. It's like when you're sick, you believe that this medicine is going to cure you. And you believe in the medicine. But if you keep on looking at the medicine and saying believing, that's not going to heal you. Right? You need to respond to that medicine. Then you need to take it and drink it. That is true believing. That is what is the saving faith is. And what do we see now? Roman Catholicism, to my observation, is not it is an abomination to God, and not preaching the true gospel, it is nothing to do with true Christianity. Roman Catholicism, according to my observation and what we have studied, is another gospel. It's the teachings of men, and it's the believing in the church, and believing in the traditions and the sacraments and penance, and believing in purgatory and baptisms. That's not the gospel. The gospel of Christ is the finished work of Christ's work alone. The gospel is that we are justified by Christ's righteousness alone, nothing else added. And if you add anything to this, you pervert the gospel, and let that person be an anathema. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that you have given us grace to us, Lord, in this fellowship to believe the true gospel. And we know, Lord, that a man is not saved through Agape Chapel Ministries, but through Christ alone. And we ask, Lord God Almighty, what we have learned, that we would embrace Christ, Lord. The true gospel is of Christ. And once we know that Christ is the source for our salvation, when we believe in Him, the true believer have a union in Christ, union with Christ, a relationship with Christ. That is true believing. And we have this intimate relationship with Christ Jesus. When we have this intimate relationship with Christ Jesus, we turn away from our sins and turn to God and obey Christ's teaching. Oh Father, we ask, Lord God Almighty, that you would totally, and we would be consecrated by the word of God alone, Lord. That we would be set apart by the word of God alone. That we would not be deceived by the teachings of the heretics and by the teachings of men. But Lord God Almighty, your word be true. Let every man alive. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Can stand and sing a song.